This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
In the spring of 1990, the world of Twin Peaks was first broadcast to a television audience of over 34 million viewers. Part murder mystery, part soap opera, and part weirdo experimental art house flick, the mystery of who killed Laura Palmer would enchant, delight, and confuse audiences in equal measure. In 1991, Paul LeMond Games would release the Twin Peaks murder mystery game. The tie-in board game featured the locales, characters, and cuisine of the hit TV show. Part Monopoly, part Cluedo, and part nonsense, the game is a finely crafted exercise in frustration. Over the course of a Twin Peaks murder mystery game, players slowly realize that they have descended into a realm of pure madness. Players find themselves locked in strange loops, always landing on the same spaces, or stuck in the dream-speaking realm, reciting backwards phrases until they can escape. One thing players never seem to find is any sense of progression. This was the experience I had after a copy of the game was given to me as a gift in the winter of 2020. The novelty of picking up donut tokens and cryptic clue cards was soon overridden by the feeling that the game was just going in circles. There are no strategies that can be used to win. Everything in the game is pure chance, a fate defined by dice rolls and spinner rotation. Not only was the game seemingly impossible to win, but it seemed it was that way by design. Like the game was supposed to mess with you. Surely something this broken couldn't make it through any sort of player testing. So back on the shelf the game went, but rather than return it to the sea of price-gouging eBay resellers, I kept it. I had decided that I wanted to solve the Twin Peaks murder mystery game mystery. Why was the game so hard to play? Is it meant to be like that? Why do players get stuck in strange loops, always back to the same spaces? Could the rules be altered, such that the game was actually winnable, or dare I say, actually fun to play? And who is Agent Gooper? To answer these questions, I decided to play the game again and again, until its secrets reveal themselves. My name is Esther Ojnud, and this is Twin Peaks, the board game, the podcast.
Can't wait to see the updated rules, because anything's better than the original.
They'll at least make it easier to win. I don't know if it's gonna make it a game yet.
All right. Have you made this game?
No. So Twin Peaks Murder Mystery Game is a board game that is almost impossible to win if you play by the actual rules of the game.
Is it like nobody knows who the murderer is?
There was three criteria to you needed the right combination of cards, you needed the right combination of chips, and there was only one correct combination.
Oh, actually, I've been studying it today. There is more than one possible solution. Altogether, I think there's essentially 8 possible solutions, but they're not, if you got a bad shuffle of the cards, it's very likely
instantly
that it's impossible and that the murder will not be solved, which may be, on purpose.
Yeah.
It's kind of like if this was a murder mystery in real life, we'd have all the evidence, we'd have all this stuff, but maybe sometimes the killer just gets away.
Gets away by pure luck.
But we're gonna fix that. We're gonna make it a bit easier for each of us to solve the murder. Version 3 after this will be how do we make this into an actual fucking game?
Mega version 4, we had a really good fun.
Yeah, exactly.
So what happened to the game?
So on each of these are the suspect cards. And on each of them, you have a suspect name. So in this case, it's Leo Johnson. And you have a suit of cards. So that's Leo Johnson and a spade. And so theoretically, to win the game, you would need Leo Johnson with a spade 4 times. So 4 spades that also say Leo Johnson. And or the other way to win, if you had 4 Leo Johnson cards of each
suit.
So I've gone through the game, and the statistical possibility of those things actually happening are so fucking low that the mind boggles. Like, it could be...
Because we all start collecting them, don't we?
Yeah.
But there's only...
So if someone has, the one that you need, you will not win.
The game could go on forever.
The game, yeah. I don't know if anyone has ever actually successfully completed this game using the proper rules, which is why we're not going to use.
So what are the tweaks?
So to tweak it, you don't need to get Leo Johnson for spades in this case. You just need to get 4 Leo Johnsons.
Okay.
Or, and another tweak, is you don't need to get all Leo Johnson. You just need to get 4 of the same suit or 4 of the same name is enough that you've completed...
How many of each suit are there?
So there's almost equivalent. There's 13 spades, 13 hearts, 12 clubs, 12 diamonds. So there's 50 cards in all. It's a weird choice.
Why are there 13 spades and clubs?
I don't... there's 13 spades and 13 hearts, and I don't know. I don't.
We opened this, didn't we? It was wrapped in plastic.
Yeah.
So wrapped in plastic.
But there's nothing missing.
Nothing's missing. No, it's all there.
Why is a very good question.
I don't think they made that choice. They just happened to be like that.
Fifties are maybe an easier number to print out than 52.
Probably laid up better on the printer.
Yeah, honestly, I think that's it.
I don't know, but on other parts of this game, like, they have taken care with, like, the aesthetics and, like,
yeah.
It has a clue at the top of the suspect card. It doesn't at all play into the game. But it's kind of cute that it's like, oh, here's my clue. It's a photo of a cabin with red drapes.
But it makes no bearing on anything.
It has no bearing on the game, as do most of the things in the rule book.
So it's more of those enjoy the journey of the game rather than
the end. So the next thing I'll explain is what's called the pentagram cards. And so to get our full pentagram, that's these little... diamond-shaped guys in the middle here. So let me have a look. We have the little man, the giant, the little boy, the owl, the cousin, and what am I missing? Little boy, little... Cousin, oh, wait. 1, 2, 3, 5. Oh, no, that's it.
Bob.
And so the idea is that you'll collect these, and this is your trap for the killer, is your pentagram. To collect pentagrams... Fucking hell. You got the idea. To collect pentagrams, that's
what the inner circle of this board game is about. So, theoretically, we enter the inner circle anytime we land on a yellow. Is the yellow's probably the entrance. Actually, no, I think you have to land on the yellow.
The rules to the Twin Peaks murder mystery game are kind of long-winded, but it's essentially just a race to collect a bunch of tokens. The idea being that with the evidence of the suspect cards, the esoteric trap of the pentagram, and the nourishment of the donut tokens, you can catch the murderer. The people I invited over to play the game that night were a mix. Who had played the game with me that first time, and Slop and Yipt, who were newcomers. Some of us were familiar with the show, whereas others were coming into the experience completely cold. I figured that a few rudimentary rule changes could help the game be more fun and exciting than the never-ending grind session it had been the first time we played it. I didn't realize at the time the sorts of energies that we were actually contending with. I guess it's at this point in the podcast that I should explain myself, because you might have already heard some version of the events and are looking for answers. But I can't tell you where Nienosh, Nayash, Erslop, and Peter are. I don't know if they're missing, dead, or somehow stuck between those two states. Some part of me thinks that wherever they are, there's no real distinction between life and death, like they're simply flip sides of the same coin. But try telling that to the police. I'm probably getting ahead of myself. I guess that's why I'm putting all the pieces together here in this podcast, so you can draw your own conclusions of what happened. So anyway, we started to play the game.
I think you go that way.
Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Stop to smell the pine trees. Lose its turn. Up to a great start.
Six! Aww.
What happens if everybody loses a turn?
Five.
Now, if you're playing Twin Peaks without playing by the rules, you will never, in a trillion years, experience the game. You'll think you experienced it, but you'll be cheating. It's such a sadness that you think you've played the game by fucking cheating. Get real!
The morning after we played the game, I found a package on the front doorstep of the house. There was no return address, and on one side it simply said, "Open up, Wiener boy," childishly scrawled in a black permanent marker. Inside of the package was an old microcassette recorder, similar to the one that Agent Cooper uses in the show, to dictate notes to Diane. What you're hearing is the recording that came on the tape, the first of many. My first guess was that one of my board game friends had done it as a prank. I called to thank them for the gift, but none of them knew what I was talking about. I tried calling Pody, but I only got voicemail. Pody was actually the one who had won the game the previous night, and I wonder if that's also the reason he was the first person to go missing. The police have the original tapes and tape recorder, but I digitized everything before they lugged it into evidence. If there's one thing I've learnt from this whole experience, it's that you can't trust anything the voice on the tape says. For that matter, I'm not sure you can even trust me, but someone has to tell the story. This was Twin Peaks, the board game, the podcast, featuring music by Brian Morrow. I'm your host, Snurge Nugbe, and thank you for listening.
Listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.